John Leonard.
Hello, Gay.
Bellcamp.
Hello.
What's wrong with you? What can you not believe, John Leonard?
The milkman gave us a bottle. The Millennium bottle, right?
Aluminium milk bottle, yeah.
Yeah. So I put it up on the... When we'd finished drinking the milk...
Yeah.
I put it on the worktop.
Yeah.
And I was watching it for a couple of days, wondering what I'd make of it, you know?
Yeah.
Whether I'd put a ship in it or something, you know?
Yeah.
And then I got up one morning and the milk bottle was gone. So I said to the choir one, I said, where's the milk bottle?
Yeah.
I said, I put out the milk bottles like normal. I said, sure, what about the Millennium one?
Yeah.
I said, I put that out as well.
She didn't.
Well, then it dawned on me, you know?
What?
Like, she's from Limerick.
Oh.
I married her, you know?
Oh, no, she's not from Limerick, is she?
And then I thought, after about 10 years, she'd have got a bit of culture in that, you know?
Oh, I know.
But obviously, the 10 years was wasted.
I know. Where are you from, John?
From Dublin.
Of course. Well, I know that. But whereabouts in Dublin, John? Sure, I can tell that by your accent, of course.
Pardon?
And how many generations dub are you, John?
Well, unfortunately, the mother is from Tipperary.
Oh, no. Well, and where's the dad from?
He's pure Jackie.
Oh, well, then you're saved there. You're saved. Know? Yeah. Well, Tipperary, at least not as bad as Mayo.
It's just a warning to all the Dublin fellas that did marry Colchis.
Yeah, well, why did you marry her, John?
I thought I'd give them a bit of culture.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
How long is she out of Limerick now?
14 years.
Oh, and no improvement?
There's no improvement.
No improvement.
I mean, I thought there was an advancement being made, you know?
I know, yeah.
But unfortunately... And it's just a warning to all the other fellas.
I know, yeah, I know.
That you can't take your eyes off them.
Not for a minute.
Not for a minute.
Len Gray and the Casaloma Band, and it's called Opus One. Wednesday, the 23rd of September, we went to a well-known still organ restaurant for a meal, she said. All went well until halfway through the main course, when a youngish couple sat in across the aisle from us. We paid little attention to them at first, but then noticing their every move became almost unavoidable, Gay. As quick as look at you, she had her shoes off, was pulling down his socks with her toes, and then started playing footsie, and got her foot stuck up the leg of his jeans. A glass of wine later, she moved both feet up to rest on the seat opposite her, resulting in her feet being between his legs. She then proceeded with a tickling motion of her toes to caress his inner thigh. This is while they were eating now, in a well-known Stillorgan restaurant. And the other couple across the aisle looking at them. Wait, there's more, wait. While she was thus engaged, Gay, he was alternating between eating a now lukewarm steak and massaging her feet. I ask you, at a time like that, who's interested in a steak? This involved a gentle stroking motion up and down her foot, occasionally venturing towards her knee. Wait a minute now. He was doing this with his foot. Gentle stroking motion up and down her foot, occasionally venturing towards her knee. Yes, I see. Oh, with his hand. With the lukewarm steak. I see. I see. He was eating the lukewarm steak with one hand and he was massaging her feet with the... I see. Yes, I have that now. And meanwhile, her toes are up in his thighs. I see, yeah. Eventually, I'm getting interested in this now. Thanks, Mr. J. Eventually, they're a pair of contortionists from Duffy's Circus. Eventually, the half-finished meal was removed and they relaxed with a cup of coffee. Oh, thanks be to God for that. I was getting steamed up here. Both parties slid further down on their seats, enabling her to rest her feet directly on his naughty bits. Much to his delight. Oh, God bless us and save us. Sacred heart. What am I reading? Well, I'd say much to his delight, right? Thankfully, says Ms. J. Kelly, and the disgusted aunt, thankfully we didn't have to stay any longer to watch these proceedings, as we'd now finished our meal. Ah, shucks. Ah, God. They peeled you up to let you down. And she says, I was feeling quite sick. We mentioned this affair to the receptionist on the way out, but she didn't seem to take it too seriously. I'd say she didn't. Now, okay. Do we presume this man was her chiropodist looking for corns, or that she was his sex therapist checking his reflexes? If this is the case, then they were both very good at their jobs. However, we would appreciate if they would confine their exploration to more suitable surroundings. On the other hand, if they are not each other's patients, they or anyone else for that matter, should not indulge in such carry-on in a public place, especially a restaurant. It's quite off-putting and distressing while one is trying to enjoy a meal. Well, that's true. I can see that, Ms. J. Kelly. I can see why you were disgusted onlookers right now. It is a bit off-putting. I mean, while you're trying to eat your whatever it is, and this carry-on is going across. Definitely. We are all young women, says Ms. J. Kelly, and not at all adverse to a show of love and affection. But, Gay, there is a time and a place.
That face, that wonderful face, it shines and glows all over the place, and how I love to watch it change expressions. Each look becomes the prize of my possessions. I love that face. That face, it just isn't fair. You must forgive the way that I stare. But never will these eyes behold the sight that could replace that face, that face, that face. I see that face wherever I go. It's here, it's there, bewitching me so. I got my crazy heart in such a tangle. It simply drives me wild from any angle. I love those eyes, those lips, that fabulous smile.
The Lou Spence number, That Face, sung by Jack Jones.
Mrs. Griffin.
Yes, Gay.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, Gay.
Where are you, honey?
I've just put the brown bread in the oven.
You just have the brown bread in the oven?
Yeah.
Just put it in. Aren't you very industrious indeed?
Oh, industrious. We're full of industry down here, Gay.
Yeah, I hadn't noticed, but however...
it's all hidden talent.
Whereabouts are you?
I'm in Gortamullen, just 10 minutes from Kenmare Town.
Is that where you are?
Yeah.
And you send us a lovely picture postcard of the Kenmare River.
Of the Kenmare River, yes. Mm. It's very, very beautiful, but not just now, I mean, it is in the spring and summer and autumn.
Ah, sure, don't I know.
You know it well, don't you? Yeah.
So when will the brown bread be ready, then?
In 45 minutes.
And who will be leaping in at lunchtime and tea time tonight to eat it?
Oh, Mick Griffin.
Mick Griffin, who is he?
He's my husband.
He's the fellow you're living with at the moment, is it?
Pardon?
He's the fellow you're living with at the moment, is it?
The fellow I'm living with for many years.
I see. How many years is it?
22, Gay.
And where is he at the moment?
He's an overseer for the council.
Is that right? Working hard?
Yes, he works. He has to do fairly hard work, especially in the snow and frost time, you know.
Mm. And have you any young Griffins there?
No. unfortunately, no. Holy God didn't give us any, okay?
Did he not?
No, I see. But I have some nieces that I have, I really can call my own, do you know?
Yes.
And they visit me and all that sort of thing.
That's the story. Yes, you don't happen to feel strongly about these fellas stopping the traffic in Cork yesterday, you don't happen to feel strongly about these chaps stopping the traffic in Cork yesterday and today, the trains and so on?
Oh, I think it's very bad.
You think it's very bad, do you?
Yeah, I think Shannon Bridge was the worst.
Yes.
But this is also bad.
Yes. You don't agree with that sort of action, do you?
No, I don't. No. Mm. Although I certainly wouldn't give Richie Ryan a big kiss on the cheek if I met him today.
Why not?
Oh, gosh. Hey, Richie. Mm. He'll be remembered. Cromwell is remembered. Strongbow and the remainder of them. But Richie will be remembered for billions of years, longer than the Egyptian pyramids. He'll never be forgotten.
Well, I suppose that's one way of going down to history. I think you slightly exaggerated, Jane, really.
I couldn't exaggerate Richie, no.
I see. All right, well, let's see, in spite of Richie, if we can give you £10 for yourself today.
By the way,
yeah?
Regards to Kathleen, that's what we call her.
Kathleen who?
Kathleen Watkins.
Oh, my Kathleen. Oh,
yeah,
I see. Oh,
and the family. Oh. And tell her that we miss herself and Deirdre O'Callaghan.
You miss herself and Deirdre O'Callaghan?
Deirdre O'Callaghan, yes. We were very fond of the two of them.
Ah, yes. Well, they soldiered for many years together.
They did, yes.
In various ways.
But then they're busy housewives now and all that.
Indeed they are. And the right way to have them. The right way to have them, too. Here, Jane, here's our mystery sound now.
That I don't know either. All I know is that I don't get stale. By the time I'm through one particular job and I come to another one, I approach it with complete freshness.
Now, love, what do you think of that, then?
I thought it was Kenneth Moore.
Kenneth Moore. Ah, alas, no, Jane.
No.
After all, that is not Kenneth Moore, no.
No.
It's a little too light a voice for Kenneth Moore.
Yes, I thought last night on Scott and the Antarctic that it was a little too light.
Yes, a little bit. However, never mind.
Thank you very much. God bless.
Good to talk to you, love. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Save it for a rainy day. For love may come and tap you on the shoulder some starless night. Just in case you feel you want to hold her, you'll have a pocket full of starlight. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away.
Never let it fade away.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Save it for a rainy day.
Save it for a rainy day.
For love may come and tap you on the shoulder some starless night. And just in case you feel you want to hold her, you'll have a pocket full of starlight.
Pocket full of starlight.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away.
Never let it fade away.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Save it for a rainy day.
I'm still talking to Catherine Holmquist about her series in the Irish Times starting today. It's all about courtship and young people and so on. Yeah. What about the poorer parts of the city, boys and girls there? What sort of courtships do they have?
Well, in the poorer sides of the city, the major difference now is status. I mean, many people on the south side said to me, if you went go out with somebody from the north side, you'll never live it down.
Say that again.
If you go out with a 17-year-old typist from Tala, you'll never live it down. And this was genuinely agreed among Southside boys. And when you talk to the 17-year-old typist from Tala...
I thought you said the North Side.
No, the South Side boys said this. Yeah. The North Side boys said the opposite.
They don't cross the Liffey, in other words.
They don't cross the Liffey at all. Not even to shop, you know. They don't... Southside people never go on the other side. They might occasionally visit Hoth or Castleknock or Sutton.
Yes.
But people I talked to who live in Castleknock and in Hoth said, we go over to the Southside for parties almost every weekend, but they might come over here once a year.
Well, that's true. That's been my experience, too, yes.
But it seemed to be part of the status being so important that the group on the Southside are protecting their flank, you know, protecting the gene pool. It almost looks like that, you know.
Yeah.
And whereas on the north side, it's a completely different story. A lot of these kids in a place like Cabra West or in Fingless are getting out of school at 14, 15 years of age. And socializing is their major activity, you know, at the youth club or whatever during the day. And Joe might know Mary, and they're going out, and then Mary has a friend. And so Mary's friend starts going out with Joe's friend. Before you know it, they kind of have a group all sort of hanging out together. And the romance might go on for 5 years, and until by then they're 19 years old, and they've already been with somebody for 5 years. Mm. And long engagements are really important because you don't get married. They're very much against marriage for the people, the kids I talk to on the north side. They actually believe that marriage is kind of a trap. And that even if you get pregnant, it's much, much better not to marry the guy because, A, it could very well be a mistake just to marry him because he happened to get you pregnant.
Yes.
That was there.
Yes.
And secondly, if you do get married, you lose your unmarried mother's allowance and the two of you together are not getting as much money. You're reliant on what he's getting on the dole.
Right.
And so you're actually much worse off. And you might still be living with your parents, you know.
Hmm.
And which is another interesting situation. I talk to people who live with their parents and ask them, well, how do you... These guys from the north side were telling me, look, sex is no big deal over here. On the south side, virginity is a really big deal because they've got money, you see, and a woman has to keep her virginity so she can marry a guy with a house and a car. But over in the north side, we don't have anything, so we don't care about that.
Nora says, what a surprise to hear you on radio. What a surprise to hear you. I've been here for 60 years, Manor, for God's sake, battling away. It's funny, I haven't heard me before then. Claire says, please say hello to my son, Tig, who is sitting at the kitchen table painting. You're on in the background and we'll give him a hop. Claire, I don't like being in the background. I demand to be in the foreground. I'm not the sort of person who likes being in the background, as you well know. We play the best of jazz and big band music from the 30s and 40s and 50s and lots more things besides all of that. But we don't want a mad rush to join us, so please keep it to yourself. We don't want everybody to know about it. I mean, the Valves, you know, will not take this stress and strain. I think the whole thing could end in tears. I have no idea why you're recommending people to listen to the thing, because honestly...
Yes, I see. Teresa Harford and Teller says, I would suggest to the lady with the twin boys that she put a gate on their bedroom door. It's easy to attach it to the door frame. We had the same problem with one of our children, and that is how we solved it. Thank you, Teresa Harford and Teller. Well done. You're very kind to take the trouble to call up and let us know solutions to these problems. Meanwhile, of course, the narkies are still at it. Alec Thompson and BlackRock called to say, please stick to your usual topics, you know, breastfeeding babies, itchy vaginas, and leave Northern Ireland to the people best suited to deal with it. Stop trying to influence listeners with your own views. No, Alec Thompson and BlackRock, I won't. That's the answer to you. Olive McKinley faxes us from Sligo to say, I only just heard the snippet about the rats. Anyone who is cruel to animals can be prosecuted. Rats are animals. I'm going to prosecute you, Gay Byrne, if you do not please withdraw your lunatic advice from the sadistic person re-putting a ring in a rat's nose. I mean this. I'm Honorary Secretary of the County Sligo branch of ISPCA. We are at present prosecuting a number of people with the help of the Gardaí. Yesterday you made some nice remarks about kindness to animals. What has changed? Please tell sadists they're not going to be tolerated much longer, says Olive McKinley of the ISPCA. Oh, golly. Gee whiz. Well, what has changed since yesterday, Olive, was that we asked for solutions to the rat problem, and I gave some suggested solutions. If that constitutes me as being cruel, then you're daft. But as far as I'm concerned, I do not have this mental image of hundreds of thousands of people all over Ireland running out to catch a live rat, putting a ring through his nose, and then turning the rat. And Olive McKinley, with a message like that, you do little credit to yourself, and you do less than credit to the ISPCA, because you know how you will be dismissed, don't you? If you don't, get in touch with me again, and I'll tell you. Joan Lombard in Goatstown has a complaint about CIE. And the complaint is this. She tells us her story. Did you ever feel you were in the wrong country? Says Joan Lombard in Goatstown. I did this month, thanks to Éireann Road Éireann, better known as Irish Rail, or CIE. Well, anyway, there I was with my visitor from Paris, standing in a queue at Houston Station. Two school friends of many years back, heading off for a few days chin-wagging in beautiful Kinsale. Two return tickets to Cork, please, I said innocently, and this very ordinary request started a Gestapo-type inquisition. When are you coming back? Snapped a rather ill-tempered official. She looked thoroughly displeased when I said it would be either Saturday or Sunday. However, it was her next question which put serious doubts in my mind as to which country I was in, Russia or Ireland. Who are you travelling with? She barked in a sort of interrogating voice, and I weakly said, I'm travelling with this lady. And I indicated my friend. As you can imagine, Gay, I was a bit bewildered at this stage, but my ordeal hadn't finished. Looking the two of us over, she dealt the final body blow. She said, are you related? And it was not asked in a friendly, chatty way. Far from it. The question was positively fired at me. Having denied any relationship, I was asked for £59, the price of two return tickets, but a thought did occur to me, stunned and all as I was. I said to her, supposing we had been related, what would the fare have been? And she said, £45, if she was your sister. And she said it with an air of triumph. Perhaps if I was a regular train commuter, I'd have known all this. But I did wonder what kind of a mind could have conceived such an improbable little scheme. £59 was the price to me, because my friend was just my friend. But if she'd been my sister, it would have only been £45. I wondered also how, had I claimed my friend as my sister, could I have been proved wrong or right? How would she have proved that my friend wasn't my sister? Sorry this letter is so long, but as a final footnote, I must tell you that my friend from Paris thinks CIE is just plain crazy. Joan Lombard, Ghost Town.
G H, I got a gal
in Kalamazoo.
Don't wanna boast, but I know she's a toast
of Kalamazoo. Zoo, 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 zoo.
Years have gone by.
My, my, how she grew.
I liked her looks when I carried her books
in Kalamazoo.
I'm gonna send a wire, hopping on a flight,
leaving today.
Am I dreaming? I can hear screaming.
Hiya, Mr. Jackson, everything's okay. K-A-L-A-M-A-C-O. Oh, what a girl, a real pifferoo.
I'll make my bid for that freckle-faced kid I'm hurrying to.
I'm going to Michigan to see the sweetest girl
in Kalamazoo.
Zoo, 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 zoo. Oh, Kalamazoo.
K.
K.
A.
A.
Thank you.
Yes, Tex Beneke with the Miller Band. Dahi O'Kiron in Westport, County Mayo, is one of the many people who wants to complain again bitterly about the pronunciation of the word news, as in RTE News, because there is no such thing anymore as the RTE News. It's all RTE News now. And he, Kiron, I understand perfectly well how you feel. Believe me, I've been there before you.
Cause I'm your lady, and you are my man. Whenever you reach for me, I'll do all that I can. We're heading for something, somewhere I've never been. Sometimes I am frightened, but I'm learning to learn about the power of love.
And that was Lily Caffrey from Dublin, the winner of our street singing competition. Jennifer Rush, eat your heart out.
Sean O'Corley, come over to me quickly. We've a brief minute. I just, you're in charge of personnel here. And what did you start in here in Dubarry?
I was a soul stitcher.
And now you're still a soul stitcher.
I'm still healing souls.
So I just wanted to ask you, as personnel manager, I just wanted to ask you, you know, what are... Well, tell me about relations here in Dubarry.
Joe, don't talk about relations here in Dubarry, because everyone is in Dubarry is either related to or married to a fellow worker. We'll start with the Campbells. Tommy and Mould and Johnny and Closen and Titch and Clicken and three brothers. Veronica is Titch's wife. Ossie Lyons is their first cousin. Martin Hickey Shoreham is their brother-in-law, as is Michael O'Connor, who is a brother of Eileen Head, who works in design. John Burke Jurel and Bobby Burke are brothers of Bozo, and Anne Burke is their sister-in-law. Larry Riley Jurel is Jerry's father. He's married to Ossie Lyons' wife's sister. Pat Madden is married to another sister. Mikey Darcy's wife is the first cousin of Pat's. Pat's related to Tom Madden, a brother of Sockos, and they're cousins of Christy Craig, a brother of Porrick's. Porrick is married to Maureen, who works in the closing room. Meanwhile, Geraldine Caulfield Sales is a daughter of Toddy's, who's a brother-in-law of the aforementioned Christian Porrick. Next, we have Brendan Face and Matthew McNally, all brothers. Martin's wife, Dara, is a sister of Jojo Keary, the Jurel. The McNallys are first cousins of Tony Coyne. He's an uncle of Alan and Andrew Coyne in the closing room. Ray O'Hara is married to the McNally's sister. Jack O'Keary, who's no relation of Jojo's, is married to a sister of Tommy Tracy, and Tommy's wife, Pauline, is Munch Lucknan's sister. Jean and Marion Carrick Shoreham are daughters of Sean Carrick Quality Assurance. Pat Carrick Shoreham, not related to Sean, is a brother of Dixie and Barry's. Pat's wife, a sister of Jer Maloney's, Soul Attacher. Not too far in the warehouse, is James Hall, a cousin of Jer Maloney's. Herod Dowd, Judy's husband, Andrea's father, he's also Kathleen Fogarty's brother's father-in-law, uncle of Johnny Welch, and Ernie Donlan Cementer is a cousin of Johnny's. In the closing room, you have Ned Murray, a brother of Nancy Carr and Peggy Riddle. Anne Dempsey, a sister of Billy's and John, is engaged to Robert Hill Design. And Robert's mother, Eileen, works in the closing room. Grace McGrath is married to Tommy McGrath's brother. Over on the track, you have Squawk and Cannon, a brother-in-law of Steak Murray's. Jerry Curley is David Curley's uncle. And Josephine Curley accounts as Brendan Lucknan's sister-in-law. Seanine Donlan is a brother of Nicholas. Then you have Michael MacDonald, who is Festo's brother. And Jerry MacDonald, who is Festo's son. And just for good measure, their cousin is married to Tommy McGrath. They are also first cousins of Kevin Morgan in the showroom. Joe Power is a brother-in-law of Jimmy Connelly, who's a first cousin of Frank Heshen. Norrie Cox is a sister of Morris in the showroom. After that, you have Noel Darcy, whose brother is Ray, works in the showroom. Oliver Farron, who is related to Sherline and is Joe Kelly's uncle. Michael O'Brien is Annie's husband. Paddy Kelly Sums is married to Una Halpin's sister. Anne Mahan accounts and Colette Donnelly are sisters. In work study, Harry Bartlett is married to a cousin of my own. And Larry Mokler, who is Aidan's father, is married to her sister. Noel Daly is a cousin of Kevin Hardiman, who's going out with Geraldine Ledgewith. So you see, Gay, we don't have to organise family get-togethers. We just have to turn up for work.
Well done. Splendid. Splendid.
Sue on wants a barbecue. Sam wants to boil a ham. Grace votes for bouillabaisse stew. Jake wants a weenie bake steak and a layer cake. He'll get a tummy ache too. We'll rent a tent, a teepee. Let the town crier cry. And if it's RSVP, this is what I reply. In the cool, cool, cool of the evening, tell them I'll be there. In the cool, cool, cool of the evening, better save a chair. When the party's getting a glow on, singing fills the air. In the shank of the night, when the doings are right, you can tell them I'll be there.
Rosie Clooney with the Harry James Band, and Johnny Mercer and Hoagy Carmichael wrote it in the cool, cool, and special memories for me, and all of that sort of thing.
If I can climb out of bed, put a hat on my head, you can tell her I'll be there.
In the old days, you see, in the old days you could say, well, a nun is on the missions, or she's on retreat, or she's on night duty. Now you can say a nun is on the 3-year-old and the 4:30. It's a very strange world. Apparently this whole thing was started by an anonymous donor who gave a £1,000 prize in cash, £1,000 prize, for the first nun past the post in the 1.5-mile flat race. Clever fella. Of course, they probably expected the nuns to say, oh, no, 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 sister. Oh, no, we couldn't do that. Ride a horse in a horse? Oh, not at all. We'll have to refer to Reverend Mother, and she'll have to write to Rome. Now, they probably expected the nuns to say that. Probably expected the Reverend Mother of the Nations to say, sisters, get off that horse. Take off that silly jacket. There will be no gambling in this convent. But did they say that? No. No, you can't beat nuns, you see, for being on the ball. Nuns are terrific. If they spot £1,000 greenbacks out there waiting for the chapel fund, their attitude is, go get it. And all around the country, at this very moment, even as I'm speaking to you, in convents throughout this nation, nuns have been on strict diets, like Lester Pickett used to be, getting down to racing weight. They're living on steaks and big fat cigars. That's what they are. And the Reverend Mothers are saying, Sister Loyola, put down that rice pudding. Take a few pulls on this half corona. You have to be down to 9 stone by Sunday. They're all saying rosaries now. All saying rosaries around the convents for firm going on Sunday. There's a whole new prayer going around the place in the convents of the country at the moment. Heavenly Father, grant us good going on Sunday. Let Sister Loyola ride tall in the saddle. May Celestial Flyer be fleet of foot. And if it is thy will, and even if it isn't, keep the nun from St. Brendan's Convent, County Waterford, on the rails for the entire race. And with thy grace, may we have a starting price of not less than 5-1. Amen.
That was the 7, and it is Potato Head Blues.
Oh, get me head. I'm dying.
Is it bad?
I'm in a bad way, yeah. Creme de menthe and pints of Guinness.
Creme de menthe and pints of Guinness.
Yeah, we had to have a bit of green in.
Where was it?
Oh, up in the hole in the wall in the Phoenix Park.
A hole in the wall in the Phoenix Park, yeah.
And the Phoenix Park afterwards. And then into town.
How many of you?
About 25.
25, I see. What time did you start?
Started yesterday at 1 o'clock.
Getting sore.
And I was speaking fluent Swahili by about 7 o'clock.
Yeah. And then where did you go on to?
We went into town. Of course, the state we were in, we wouldn't be let in anywhere.
Yeah.
So we went into the fountain.
Yeah.
And we got very wet, yeah.
And what time did you finish up?
Around about 2 o'clock this morning. Half 2 this morning. Fell in. I don't know whether it's the drink or the bang of the stiletto I got when I got in.
Yeah. It was sore, was it?
Yeah, it was sore this morning.
Yeah. No, no sort of allowances made for the special day that was in it. I mean, that's a bit wrong. I mean, I thought there were special allowances being made, you know.
Well, yeah. But, you know, my little nest of vipers now up to about 12 o'clock, she'll make allowances. But after that? I'm afraid not.
How did you get home?
I think I went home by rail. You know, one hand over the other, going along the rail, all up the Richmond Road.
Yeah.
I fell into a taxi then halfway up the Richmond Road. Mm.
And tell me, are you at work, by the way? Did you get up for work?
I am. I'm in Pizza Parnell Street here at the moment.
Pizza Parnell Street?
Yeah.
Well, aren't you great to get up for work all the same?
Well, Joe rang me about 8 o'clock, but other than that, I don't think I'd have made it.
I know, yeah. But I think you're very, very brave to get it, to have got up for work.
Well, right? As any of the customers here will testify from today, my eyes are spinning.
Yeah.
My eyes are doing the Mexican wave all on their own.
Yeah.
I'm in a bad way.
Yeah. And describe the hangover to me. Describe how you're feeling. How is it actually?
It's like having an internal balaclava on. You feel woolly inside.
Yes.
Woolly and upset stomach. And I've been drinking Lucozade and Ballygown all morning trying to get the thirst away, but it won't go.
Lucozade and Ballygown, yeah. Well, I think alleviation will come at around 11:30 to noon if you... And is there sound in there? I mean, are you testing sound equipment?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, sweet I'm working divine. With the sound equipment.
Oh, sweet divine. My heart goes out to you. My heart goes out to you.
It's no fun, believe me.
Goodbye, Martin.
Thanks, goodbye.
Suffer on. God bless you, my son.
It seemed that heaven was not for me. Bless you for building a new dream, just when my old dream crumbled so helplessly. Covered chapel on the hill, your face was a hymn that lingers still. So bless you, my darling, my angel. Heaven is mine and life is divine.
Bless you, darling, for being an angel. Just when it seemed that heaven was not for me. Bless you for building a new dream. Just when my old dream crumbled so helplessly.
In that vine-covered chapel on the hill, your face was a hymn that lingers still. So bless you, my darling, my angel. Heaven is mine and life is divine.
Yeah, I'd rather him than me. That was Bill Kenny doing the lead tenor on that. Orville Happy Jones on bass, Charlie Fuqua on baritone, he was the baritone, and Deke Wilson on the second tenor. A little tightening of the belt all round there, I should imagine.
Well, now, you're a Dubliner from way back, are you, Mr. Scully?
A
Dubliner.
Oh, I'm a Dubliner, yes. From where, did you say?
From way back, I mean, from... You were born and reared in Dublin.
Oh, I was, and my father before me, and his father before him.
Very good. Well,
oh, yes.
Yes, well, we got a note...
Only a few of us left.
Yes, we got a note from a Mrs. Phelan to say that you wanted to talk to us, that you feel strongly about this thing of spending holidays in Ireland this year.
Yes. I think this is very important.
I have an idea. I spoke to you before, actually, on this programme, Mr. Scully, but go on anyway, yes.
If you are the fact... You see, I'll tell you what I'm thinking about. All these people now who are saying they don't want to come to Ireland this year because of the troubles and all that, they don't know what they're missing.
Yes.
I have been spending my holidays in Ireland. In fact, I'd even go further. I have been spending my holidays in Dublin for many years past and have encountered little or no trouble outside the occasional maybe fella like you has a few too many on him and a booze or something like that. But I have never had any trouble at all myself. And I would thoroughly recommend, I could put people on an itinerary around Dublin that would equal any place in the world.
Yes.
I think Dublin is a great place for the holidays.
Yeah, but you live in Dublin all the year round, Mr. Scully, do you?
I do,
yes.
I do.
And then you take your holidays and you stay in Dublin.
I go to the wife's people. You see, they're from Sandymount. I usually go around Sandymount.
Oh, I see. You move...
And change. Yeah, you need a bit of a change, you know.
Of course, exactly, you do.
What is so
marvellous about Dublin now? I mean, to if you were talking to a foreigner, what would you recommend about Dublin? You know
well,
what?
For a start, now, you know what everyone's talking about Dublin. I mean, you go away to the continent or something, and the place is full of foreigners. You don't know what anyone's saying to you. For a start, now, another thing is, you stay in Dublin, you have no money problems. I mean, a pound in Ringsend is the same as a pound in Pittsburgh.
Right, yeah.
Now, you know what you're eating, you know what you're drinking.
Yes.
You have the papers.
If you
want to go to an old match, you know the teams that are playing.
Yeah.
You know the pictures that are on. No, what? But you know, I can't see why people go to all this trouble, going miles away, risking their lives in airplanes to go over and get Spanish cobbly wobbles and things like this. For what? See a lot of foreigners run around and get sunstroke or something.
Do you not think you need a change of air or outlook, Mr. Scully?
I do need a change of air.
Where?
Sandymount.
Yes. Oh, I see. But is it not part of the fun of going away to cope with a foreign language or different food or whatever?
I don't think it's very fun. I personally don't think it's fun at all. Tell you nothing but the truth. I don't think it's even funny. I'm not even that worried about going to Sandymount now. Tell you nothing but the truth. Because there's some fellas down there that are different. You know what I mean? I mean, now, the sort of people that I go into, they're working chaps, you know?
Yes.
That's normally now, and I go in, they'd be talking about the match and the race and things like that. But now I go down to Sandymount, there'd be fellas down there that do be down on the Bull Wild fishing.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And they don't really be from that area at all. And they'd be talking about fish. And they'd be talking about swimming.
Yes.
Swimming. And, you know, well, I need a fish now, I don't swim. I don't mind paddling now.
Yeah.
You see, fishing. Yeah. Now, talking about fish now, listen, did you ever pick cockles in Sandymount?
No, Mr. Scully,
well,
I did not.
You see, you're talking about something you know nothing about.
Yeah, well,
you're talking about holidays. I bet you were in Spain, though, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
That's the exact point. You were in Spain on the holidays, and still, you never even picked cockles in Sandymount, so you don't know whether it's good, bad, or different. Am I right?
Well, I suppose you have me there.
There you are.
Well, now, Mr. Speaking about the football match, Mr. Scully,
football,
what did you go to see Mr. Pelly playing?
Don't talk to me about petty playing.
Oh.
Do you know what these fellas are? Ballerinos.
Ballerinos?
Ballerinos. They are not footballers at all.
Well, did you not think
No, I saw him on the telly a couple of times.
Yeah.
And you know what it is? They're like a lot of old ones. The old days now, when we used to go to the matches, that was when it was different. Do you ever see fellas like Desi Glynn, Rosie Henderson? They were footballers. Fellas who like get stuck in, you know, plenty of the boot. These fellas wouldn't get Pelly, you know, if he was playing in the old days, this is when Drums had a good team, he wouldn't get a kick in a row. You know that?
After you've gone and left me sighing, after you've gone, there'll be no denying you feel sad, you feel bad. You missed the bestest pal you ever had. There'll come a time you want me only. There'll come a time.
you're doing. Think what you're doing. You know this love of mine is gonna drive me to ruin. Get away from here. Come on, tell me what you're gonna do. After you've gone away, swinging on out the gas. Ah, yes.
That's with the gang, and it's called After You've Gone, and it was recorded in New York in 1939.
Now, how do these women do it? And there are, I've considered six options. You can't very well say to your spouse, who's annoyed you to the point of delirium, that you want £500 to blow on a holiday in Lanzarote. Now, that really isn't on.
You mean that you're talking about wives who just can't take the stress and strain anymore and they just leave?
I think the wives that you mentioned were sort of feeling that things weren't going quite their way as
right.
far as everyday life is concerned.
Yes.
I'm not talking about wives who were in desperate circumstances.
Quite, yes.
That's
we're
a different
not,
issue.
Yes, we're not talking about violence or anything.
Absolutely not,
oh, yes,
no.
Yes.
Just the ordinary daily
yes.
life that sort of,
yes.
you know, you think you're being used and walked on
right.
and all that kind
right.
of thing.
So £500 for Lanzarote, no.
Not on. Now,
right.
you can pack your little handbag and walk up and down Dunleary here. That really isn't very pleasant either, and you can only do that until sort of 11 o'clock at night. And then what do you do? So that's not on.
Mm.
You go to your sister. Well, I have none, so that's not on. You go to a relative, and they welcome you and say, oh, you poor thing, have a cup of tea, I know what you're going through, and da-di-da-di-da-di-da. And then they look at their watch after maybe dinner time, and they think, well, now you've been here for 12 hours, are you going to stay forever, or are you going to go home, or what? So maybe that's not such a good idea.
Mother.
My mother's dead, Lord rest her, so that's not on. And even if she were alive, she'd say to me, well, now, you know, you made your choice and sort of life is very tough and get on with it. So you go to your best friend and they're very pleasant. And again, out comes this ubiquitous teapot. But when you've gone, what happened? Yakety, 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 yak. Did you hear Dimple McMahon and what she did and what she said and da-di-da? So I don't think that's right either.
Now,
I have a sinking feeling. You see, the things that anger me are things like birthdays unrecognised or sort of happy birthday, dear, and that's the end of it. And my husband has done, I mean, he's wonderful, I must say that, because I have a dear mother-in-law, I'm sure she'll be listening. But certain things, you know, anger me. Like, when you get a wheelbarrow for your birthday and you're supposed to be at your most seductively alluring and flash your eyelids and say, oh, that's always what I wanted. Thank you very much, dear. That's marvellous.
You got a wheelbarrow?
A wheelbarrow for my birthday.
For your birthday?
Absolutely. And I must say, I was moved by it. Ha-ha. Then come Christmas.
Well, hold on now. Are you a gardener, Dimple?
Well, I have to be.
Yeah, but I mean, do you have green fingers? Do you grow flowers and things?
Well, let's say I sort of keep the wilderness at bay.
Well, was it a nice wheelbarrow, Dimple?
Well, it was a plain, ordinary pedestrian wheelbarrow. You know, it gave two handles and a wheel in front. And, you know, it's handy to move weeds from the front to the back.
But maybe he thought that that's really what you wanted.
Well, I suppose I would have said inter alia at various times. God, it'd be very handy to have a wheelbarrow here, but really, Gay, I mean, I don't want it for my birthday. And that's only followed up then by the following Christmas when my husband presents me, surrounded by all the children who were in on this, with a beautifully packaged triangular box in the shape of Bea Ritz chocolates. Well, I opened it and I found it was a two-speed hammer action Black & Decker drill. Now, that's wonderful for putting up shelves, but you see, I would prefer if he were using them and that I didn't have to.
A two-speed hammer action power drill.
Yes.
Black & Decker.
Absolutely.
That's a pretty nice drill, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. But I would prefer perfume or a present or a cashmere sweater now. I mean, really, is that unreasonable?
And had the drill ever been mentioned in your
yes,
close, tender
yes,
moments?
Yes, because I had knocked so many holes in the wall. I mean, I'd broken the plaster and made expletives, which are made up of three and four letters, and broken nails and thumbs and so on. So really, a drill is very handy. And I suppose every house should have one. But perhaps not for a birthday present. You wouldn't agree, no?
Well, maybe he was trying to tell you something.
Tell me something. Oh, I was drilled to bits, absolutely. Between being moved by the wheelbarrow and drilled to bits by the drill, I mean, my life, you know, is on another plane. Now, I have a sinking feeling that my birthday is coming up soon. I have a sinking feeling that I'm going to be presented with a 5-litre can of oil because I let my car run without oil.
Ooh.
And thank you.
Oh.
Yes.
Nah.
Dreadful, absolutely. But really, I think perhaps, you know, there might be other options in the shop other than Super Lube or something like that.
Do you have an urge now and then to run away, Dimpna?
Pardon?
Do you have an urge to run away?
Well, sometimes I think there, you know, perhaps I'm not the kind to do that thing.
You're much too sensible, Dimpna.
I get to boiling point and then I take out this spade, you see, and I knock the, you know, what's off the weeds in my garden. Or I take a rag and I polish the brass on my door beyond what brass should be. Of course, now that I've said that, any neighbour who sees me either shining...
Never polish the brass in their life.
Ah, do you see her? Now what? That's not garden anymore.
So your question is, where do they get the money to go and where do they go?
And then when they do go, where do they go? And then when they get there, how is the break made to get home?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be dreadful, Gay, if you went off and nobody came looking for you? Then what would you do?
That's right. And then what happens when they come home, you want to know?
Who gets them home? And do they sort of... I have a feeling that if I did that, I'd be left there, you know?
You wouldn't, Dimpna. Well, I think you're playing a very clever game, Dimpna, with your birthday coming up. Do you know that? I think you're playing a subtle game.
You mean two cans of Esso Super Lube? Okay, how could you?
Well, who ever doubted that he could play tenor? That was Chew Berry and his Stompy Stevedores. Hello?
Hello, Gay.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Miss Watkins speaking.
Oh, it's Miss Watkins.
It is indeed. I just wanted to clear the air.
I wondered what was coming.
Pardon?
I wondered who was coming on. I didn't know what Alan and Phil were at. I could hear the phone call coming through in the middle.
Well, now, you see, I heard Miss O'Callaghan.
You've just interrupted
a lovely plug for Steve. And I wanted to set the record straight in case the nation thought that all harpists do the same thing.
Yes.
Well, you see...
I was trying to remember.
I was just a stickler for tradition, as you know.
Yes.
So you had to chase hard after me to get me.
Yes.
Do you remember?
No, remind me of it.
And it was not true what you said for the last 23 years, that my hands came down like a mechanical grabber on a mound of engagement rings.
Yeah, well what happened actually? I have vague memories of it right enough.
Vague memories, they should be very clear and imprinted on your mind.
Well, it was Grafton Street, wasn't it? I mean...
Pardon?
It was Grafton Street, wasn't it?
It was Grafton Street, yes. And you went down on one knee. in the dining room of my home.
I did not.
You certainly value it so.
Don't try to put that over on
but
people.
You're telling lies now to the people.
Nobody.
You said you can't remember, and now you're denying that you went down on one knee.
And where did this happen?
It happened in the dining room of my parents' home.
I don't remember your parents' home.
Yes, you do.
Never had anything to do with your parents. I don't even remember your parents. What are you trying to tell? And what did I say? As if I remember,
well,
as if anybody...
they didn't say anything because they weren't there.
No,
I mean,
what
they weren't in the room at the
what
time,
What did I say?
Course.
What did I say?
But you always did say all the years, and this stuck in my mind, that, yes, that my hands went down like a mechanical, like zoom down on the ring.
Yes, I see.
And, of course, I sat quietly with my hands in my pockets waiting for you maybe to select one, or which would I like.
Yes, I see. And I went down on one knee in
and
the dining room.
And I took the most reasonably priced ring.
Yes, I remember that right now. Yes, and on the same day...
Anyway,
I was,
that's all I want to say.
And on the same day I was nearly killed.
Pardon?
And the same day as I remember, what I remember about the day we got engaged is that I nearly died on the same day. You're conveniently forgetting
that,
aren't
you? Yes, I forgot that.
Of course you forgot that.
Yes.
Yeah, just a small detail.
Will I tell everybody about that?
Yeah, I was in a plane crash at Dublin Airport on the same night, yes.
And I had the ring in the box.
That's right.
It's a tradition you didn't wear the ring until you were kind of officially engaged and all that nonsense. And I had the ring in a box.
Yes.
And I was sitting at the airport and I heard sirens going.
That's right.
And somebody said, there's a crash.
Hmm.
And then everybody began running towards the airport and I began clawing at the customs doors.
That's right.
And a man let me in and I sat on the kind of side of the thing, on the side of where the customs people put their cases.
Hmm.
And then you just sail through and the pilot and everybody was just smiling and relaxed.
That's right.
So the moment of panic was over.
That's right. And she already had a for sale notice on the engagement ring that she got that morning. It was just a discreet little notice, but it was gone up by 10 quid. We had a nose wheel collapse on a car there. That's what happened. I was coming back from Manchester.
Yes.
And that was her. You nearly lost me the day you got me.
Wasn't that
a very fortunate...
No, I have to go now.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
I see. Where did that come from, you louses, for organising that? Did she come through on her own or did you contact her? Dear, oh dear. Oh, I remember it well. Isn't it typical of a woman that she'd remember the day she got engaged, but not the little small fact that I nearly lost my life in the same day? Where was I?
Very entertaining. Next week, please.
Meanwhile, you will know that a very, very rude woman rang me up last week on the telephone and accused me of being a bore. Yes, yes, it happened on this very show, live on the air, accused me of being a bore. Not for the first time, and I should suspect not for the last time. But she specifically said I'm a bore about aeroplanes. An aeroplane bore, she said. Aeroplane, always talking about aeroplanes, she said, on the telephone to Mary. Our listeners are inclined to exaggerate a little. Always talking about aeroplanes. Never talk about anything else but aeroplanes, she said. You can see that they do exaggerate a little. Your aeroplane bore, she said. That's what you are. And I was very upset by this because I admit freely and gratuitously I have a little weakness about aeroplanes and I like aeroplanes. I like everything to do with aeroplanes. But she didn't need to say that, did she? No, I knew you'd agree. Shane O'Hooey, however, writes to me today. And he says, and I hope she's listening, he says, dear Gay, my name is Shane O'Hooey and I am 7 years old. Last week someone wrote to tell you that you are not to talk about aeroplanes. Don't mind her, Gay. It's your show. You talk about anything you like. After all, I did say it is your show. Best wishes, Shane O'Hooey. Brackets 7. End bracket. I hope she's listening. I just hope she's listening. We'll be right back.
yes, Jim Bray on bass. This is Humph and his band with Christopher Columbus. Did I say thank you to all our listeners for their nice... Yes, I did. Did I say thank you to the DG for the use of the hall? Yes, I did. I think I've thanked everybody. Till we meet again, God bless you all, look after yourselves, and goodbye for now.